Can we turn to 2 Corinthians, please? Chapter 5. And starting to read at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I want just to take one of those verses. There's so much. Just one of those verses, and it's verse 17. There's so much in all the other ones, I know, but for the sake of time, it'll be just that one verse. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I just want to take little bits of the verse and go through it and look at it. And the first bit, if anyone, anyone, a great offer, anyone. The gospel invitation that we heard was for everyone. I see it's mistake number one. Foe, nothing to do with a foe, but it's for everyone. And we're so glad that we heard it, didn't we? Jesus said in Matthew, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever believes in him. Paul was bringing that one out last night, wasn't he? John 3:16, and there's so many verses that speak of the whosoever. And it's so great that the gospel message is for the whosoever will may come and believe on him. And I'm so glad for that universal message of the gospel, because it means all sorts, doesn't it? The poor person who cannot read nor write, they can believe in Jesus and come. It's for the academics, they can come. Whatever country or background we're from, because of that universal call, if anyone wants to come, they can come. We're so grateful to God for that message. And then the little bit, if anyone is in Christ, and a great position. Looked it up on the computer. It's well over 80 times that little phrase, in Christ, occurs in our Bibles. I think it was 87 in the New King James Version and about 79 in the Authorized Version. Don't know why the difference is there, but anyhow, it's over 80 times that we see it. And just one or two there, Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's a lovely, safe position to be in, isn't it? we think of that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft from me, let me hide myself in thee. And it's what we did when we trusted the Lord as our Saviour. We became from outside of Christ to become in him, in that safe place, like we looked at with the dove last week. In the cleft of the rock, it's that safe, sheltered place, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 3:1. And even if a person is a babe in Christ, they can still, if they've trusted the Saviour, be looked upon as in him, even as unto babes in Christ. And there are so many thoughts that come to us that we have and that we're blessed with when we are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And it's a great miracle, isn't it? A new creation. We believe in miracles. If we don't believe in miracles, then we can't be saved. You know, because it's a miracle that happened inside each one of us the moment we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. We became a new creation or creature on the inside. I prefer the thought of creation rather than creature. But it happened. We might not know, some of us, the actual time we became a Christian. Some, it's a gradual process of realizing these things. But in God's eyes, he knows the very second when we actually pass from death unto life, when that miracle took place in our heart. We're born again by the Spirit of God. It's something we could never do, isn't it? We keep thinking of this. It had to be of God. We wouldn't even have wanted to have found a way on our own until God started to awaken us and convict us of our sin. So we thank God for that great miracle that has been worked inside of us. Old things have passed away. A great consideration. It's good for us to think of not too much dwelling on what we were, but from time to time, just think back, and it makes us think, thank you, Lord. There is improvement in my life. Sometimes I wonder, you know, and it's good to look back and compare. Well, I was doing this so many years ago, now I'm doing this. So yet there is some progress in the Christian life. But we need to think of those old things sometimes. My sin, wretched sin, gone. Gone completely, isn't it? In God's sight. Oh, I know it's there. You know it's there. We're so grieved when we think wrong things, do wrong things, let God down. But in God's sight, we're looked upon as perfect through the work of Christ. My death, I was heading for eternal death and judgment. Gone. Gone. Completely gone. Part of those old things we have no longer. We passed from death unto life, didn't we? And my old priorities, what I used to live for, looking forward to a holiday, looking forward to buying this, looking forward to that. And that was the big thing I was living for. But now it's not any longer. We've got new priorities, haven't we, in that life that Jesus has given us. Old things have passed away. Behold. Look at it. Consider it. Behold, all things have become new. A great change has taken place in our lives that we give God the thanks for. Psalm 40, verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Just one of those new things that we've got since that change took place. A new nature is now within me. We've looked at that in that new that miracle that God worked. A new love for my Saviour. I love Jesus now, whereas once I did not love him. I want to live for my Saviour now. And I want to listen to my Saviour. I want to walk in his ways for my life. God has a plan for every believer. And the moment we become a Christian, it's up to us to seek to find God's plan for our lives. And we want to be in that will of God for our lives, don't we? And we want to share fellowship with others who love the Lord Jesus. That's a wonderful thing, being at a conference, whether Keswick or something like that, or on holiday and you meet a believer, in just a few moments you feel so one with them, don't you? Because that's that new thing that we've got within us. We never wanted to spend time with Christians before. I didn't want to meet with the brethren at the after church before I was a Christian. I was a grief to my mum. I'm not having anything to do with those brethren lot, you know. And the Lord's got a sense of humour, I believe, in how he deals with us, wakes us up. But yeah, we enjoy fellowship now with one another, don't we, and other believers, wherever they are. Yes, and we want to tell others who do not know about our Saviour. Praying in the morning. I was saved, as you know, when I was a carpenter and joiner. And we had a sort of a doing handy jobs for people, like going out, repairing a door, putting a glass in someone's window and things like this. And so I might have four or five places to go to, carrying my bag of tools on my back around different places. And I would pray in the morning, Lord, lead me to somebody today I can talk to about your love. And it was amazing. Almost every day, somewhere, someone it would come up somehow in a wonderful way, and the Lord would use me to be a witness to somebody. And we want to be able to share our Saviour with those around us who do not know him yet, don't we? And also, in that new nature within us, we look forward now to being with the Lord Jesus forever. The thought of standing before Jesus used to, when we were being wakened up from sin, we used to hate the thought of seeing Jesus. But now we look forward to going to be with him, don't we? All part of this new nature that is within us. And then we know that we're going to know a complete change, made like him and dwelling in him forever. Yes, so there's that lovely thought. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now I'd like to catch us up to date with just one or two of the places we've been to this year. And first of all, Cambridge. And it was nice to go back to the fair. And for the Thursday and the Friday, sadly, I was on my own. So on the Thursday, I went around to all the showman's area. You can see some of their rides. And these big rides there, that's in the area and that over there. And I went all around there witnessing to them, and it was nice to meet one showman lad. Hello, I used to come to your children's meeting. That was 30 years ago or more. I was the bad one. Do you remember me? And I felt like saying, well, I thought you all were bad. But I restrained myself. But it was nice to talk to him, and for that Thursday to meet all the showmen and talk with them. Then in that big area there, behind there, that's all the gypsy stores. And it was nice to go around and look to my friends there and sit behind the stalls and talk to them. But there's one man, John, I was looking forward to seeing, John Taylor, and no store. So I made inquiries, and someone said, I think he's dead. So I went to another area, and yeah, the dear old lady said, yeah, John died before Christmas. I sent them a wreath and a heart attack. And the last time I saw John was last year in the summer in Bridgewater here at the fair. And he looked a bit poorly, but it was a horrible shock, because it was through our witness there on Cambridge Fair that John came to the Lord. Another story when I do the fairground report for you looking back. But yeah, so that was the only sad thing. And the other sad thing was to think the last time I was going around talking to the gypsies and the stallholders, and still got a mug that one of the gypsies' friends gave Chris. Chris was with me and helping hold the calendars whilst I clambered up on some of the rides and things like that. That was a bit hard doing that over the 2 days, just thinking of that one. But yeah, it was a good opportunity. And then on the Saturday, it's a big gypsy day. They come from Ireland, Europe, and they just come and they walk around and around and around and around that fair, looking out for relations. Oh, hello, Aunt so-and-so, hello, cousin so-and-so. And they stop and talk. You might get 7, 8 in a group, sometimes more, stopping and talking. Then they move on and just walk around and around the fair for that whole day, really. And so I had to get there early. And I parked my car in the car park, which was just over there. That's the big car park. And the car park superintendent was rather nasty with me, and he said, no, you've got to go on over there to that car park first. I said, but I want to get out 3 o'clock, at past three, get back home to Somerset. You've got to go over there. And he wouldn't have it. I couldn't get away from it, but I had to go over there. But Jim Henry came and joined me that day, and we walked around and around. We couldn't find any spot in the actual fair to put our little amplifier and the little board up, you'll see in a moment, and the only place we could find was there. And when I looked across the road, I should have took a picture of it, just over here was my car. The Lord knew we were going to get that spot, and that was the only spot, and it was the best spot on the fair for our point of view. And my car was right handy, and all that, if I needed a new, some CDs or booklets on any given subject, and I did several times, all I had to do was to run across the road and get to my car and get out as well, whatever we needed. So it was a lovely opportunity, and that's where we put ourselves, just there. And there's a pub just in behind there. And you can see the crowd spilling over there. And as we got nearer to midday, the crowd got nearer and nearer and nearer to us because they just had to. And we had some lovely opportunities to witness there. And there's Jim Henry preaching by the board, by the bridge there. And it was a good opportunity. And we had a young man, Matthew, came up to us, and Matthew said, I've come up to give out some tracts, but I'm a bit nervous to do it on my own. He's a gypsy lad. Can I stand with you? And so we had Matthew stand with us, and we got on really well with him. And we were so one in many ways. And later on, I said to Matthew, I said, would you like to have a preach? Well, I'm all right, yeah, I'll have a go. And he'd done ever so well in preaching. And Joe would bear out, a gypsy would rather listen to the gospel being preached from a fellow gypsy than he would a gorger. And Matthew got a good bit of interest there as he was carrying on preaching. And there were one or two interesting conversations that we had there. Just go back to that one. Matthew, I wanted to get out early, and there was no chance I could get out. And I said to Matthew, I think there's a gap farther up. If you pull up the wires of the guard in the cycle track, I think I can get my car between a gap to get into the other car park so I can get out early. And so he said, I'll come up and have a look. And Matthew just lifted up the poles out of the floor. You know, he had the poles in his hand, and plenty of room for me to get through and get out. And he came with me to the gate. And I heard the man at the gate say, no one's going out till half past three. It was about 3:55 then. No one's allowed out. The police are there, and the police are going to help us get people out at 3:30, but no chance of getting out before then. I don't know what Matthew told the man on the gate. The next thing I knew was somebody from his group stood out in the middle of the road in front of the police, and they didn't bat an eyelid. And the other man opened the gate for me and got me out. And there was Matthew waving goodbye to me. I would like to know what he told the people on the gate and how he worked it all for me to get out. Anyhow, I was able to get out over half an hour earlier than the man on the gate was going to let us do. Hereford, a good opportunity. And there's Derek, he was preaching on Christ the bridge. And as he was preaching on Christ the bridge, how can we get to God? Yeah, said that young man, he was in a gang. How can we get to God? So Derek stopped preaching and talked to the lad. Another in the group realized there was another preacher there, and he started talking to him. I've got his name now. Anyhow, and a third started talking to another one. And those three lads were talking for over half an hour about the Lord Jesus, how we can come to God, how we can get our sins forgiven. They were really interested. All the girls in the gang disappeared on into the fair down the road, but they didn't care about the girls going away. They were so determined to stay and talk about the Saviour. I love the opportunity. There is a bit closer talking. Other young people we had chance to talk to in the fair. I love the opportunity, and I want to continue to go back to that fair, even though the mission aren't doing it. I feel a responsibility to go because of the number of young people we meet there. And then down to Abergavenny, and I was listening to me mate preach a bit later on from there, and I saw this young lady with a pushchair, and the child in the pushchair just stopped listening to the preacher as he put the bits on the board. And when he finished, I went across to her. She was still standing around, and I said, "You seem to be interested in my friend." "Yes," she said, "I've been trying to read the Bible, but I just can't understand it." It seemed it was the AV she'd been trying to read, and I said, "Well, there are parts in that I find hard to understand." I said, "We've got one of our Mission New King James Gospels of John here. Would you like that?" "Please." And I gave her the Shore of Heaven CD, that's readings in John's Gospel, to go with it. And she was so interested and so thankful that we were there and that I'd spoken with her. And she also took Ultimate Questions and one or two other booklets. She went away with quite a little bundle of things in the end. So a lovely opportunity there. Now I just want to go on to Racecourse Recollections. Just some of the thoughts that we've had and where I've been. That's the racecourses: Ascot, Chester, Epsom, Doncaster, Aintree, Bath. And you can't call badminton a race course, I know, but I've been there. It's horsey anyhow, so I've been there as well. They've all got names. Interesting. And when you see the people shouting for their name, you know, "Go on so-and-so, go on so-and-so," and they're all shouting the name of the horse they've backed. There was one called Higher Love, and I enjoyed taking "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son" on Higher Love. Then we go to Epsom, and sometimes we're nearer the bookies' boards. You can see the boards all up there by the umbrellas, a lot of them. And I was looking at a horse called King Among Kings that was running in next race, I believe it was. And I was thinking, can I do something with King Among Kings? And as I was thinking about it, Brian Chapman was on the box preaching, and suddenly a man came up and started shouting, a professor type of man he was, "Jesus was only a good man. You've got it wrong, I'm telling you, preacher. Only a good man. He was only a prophet." And the crowd took up what this man had started saying. Yeah, that's right. Jesus was only a good man, only a prophet. And they were shouting more and more. And I was in a naughty thought. I thought, it's a good job Brian's up on the box and not me. And Brian was trying to carry on and witness with all this going on. Suddenly the man turned and walked away into the crowd. But I had a horrible little voice inside. Oh, I mustn't say that if it was of the Lord. I had a voice inside of me say, "Go follow him." I can't follow him. I'm the next one up on the box. I can't follow him. Go and follow him. And before I knew it, I was following the man through the crowd, and I caught him up. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, you said Jesus was only a prophet, only a good man." I said, "Jesus must have been the biggest deceiver out, or he must have been who he claimed to be." And the man looked at me rather horrified. And I said, "Look here." And I opened the John's Gospel up on John 5. And they were about to kill the Lord because he'd done a miracle on the Sabbath. But he'd been saying he had been working and God had been working. And they realized the Lord was making himself equal with God. And they were going to kill the Lord Jesus because he was claiming to be equal with God. And I said, "If Jesus wasn't who he claimed to be, he would have said, 'Hold on, that's the death penalty. You know, you've got it wrong. I'm not claiming equality with the Father.' But I said, 'Look here in John's Gospel,'" and I pointed to it, and I said, "He goes on to emphasize how he's equal with the Father." And the man looked at the Gospel with me, and he said, "You have destroyed my theory of Christ." And I said, "I'm glad about that. Can I give you this Gospel of John?" And he took it. And before he left, that man said this: "My wife is a Christian." And I got back to my area where the men were just in time to see Brian step down from the box. And without any preparation, I had to stand up on the box. So I stood up on the box. And what did I take? I said, "You lot here have been shouting that Jesus was only a good man, only a prophet." And I said, "That's not so. He's not a king among kings. That's what you say he is, only a prophet." I said, "But he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I preach Christ and the Lord. It's not me. I'm a coward. I can't do this work on my own. It was the Lord who just gave me those thoughts." And do you know, that man, the professor chap, came by whilst I was preaching, and I had a lovely wave from him, and he kept quiet as he passed by. I think he was going to the bookies or something then. Another one that we heard there was judgment. And as judgment ran the race, it lost. In actual fact, it came in last. It wasn't me, it was one of my brethren. Took that little verse, judgment. You've seen it. Last of all. It came over the post. Last of all. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after that, last of all, the judgment. Invitation was another one. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's lovely, the names that horses have been given. I think they're given sometimes just for the preacher. Well, he's a sovereign God. Why can't he move an owner to think of a name that the preacher can use 2 years later on or whatever? The book settles the argument. One day, there was a man standing in front of the bookie, a bit like that lady is there, and he was arguing about the odds that he'd had. And the argument went on and on and on. The bookie's ledger book is never shown to the public. It's a hidden thing. But the bookie realized he was losing trade. And he turned to his mate and he said, "Oh, go on, show him the book." And the man turned the book around. It's a big book. And he turned the book around and he ran his finger along the line. And the man dropped his head and turned away, quiet. The book settled the argument. You've got to have something that settles the argument. And for us, it's the Word of God. Our argument is based on the Word of God. It's infallible. I know sometimes our interpretation of it might vary a little bit, but on the essential things, it's infallible, isn't it? And the book settles the argument. We preach there, got a little stall nowadays in the market area, a good opportunity, and we reach the people. There we are, this man, there's our caravan that we sometimes have. And this man, his name was John. Where's Clive? A gypsy, known him for a long time. Oh, he's in the caravan making some notes. And I was. He came and seen me. And I went out to talk with him. John, oh, it's good to see you. Right back in 1973, I first met John in Barnstable Fair. When I first went there, we arrived and, oh no, Gypsy Lee, fortune-telling caravan, right by the side of us. How are we going to get on preaching the gospel with them there? But we got on very well with the family, actually. And Mr. Lee had a drink problem and was coming into our caravan late at night telling us ghost stories. And bless him, that the drink was messing up his life completely. But anyhow, I got talking to his son John, this same one I was now talking to at Epsom. And I witnessed to him, and he was very near to trust in the Lord. Next year, 1974, we continued talking together, and I had the joy of pointing John to Jesus that night there in the fair. It was lovely, and we've been good friends ever since. But a few years later on, his dad died, and John started to get on the drink problem. And I remember Epsom one year, John with his drunk came up toward the preacher, and don't like you, and he was going to bash the preacher, and everybody thought we were in for a problem. I went over to John. Although he was wobbling like this, he could recognize me, and I said, John, he's my friend. You wouldn't hit a friend of mine, would you? Oh no, you brought me to Jesus. Oh, you're my friend. You know, and I thought, what are my mates going to think about my converts, you know, coming to Jesus? And another time he was at Epsom at Cambridge, and I'd got a Korean man to preach the gospel, a lovely Christian chap I got to know in the area, and he was preaching the gospel. And again, John came over to him, Japanese, Japanese, we don't like Japanese. And I had to grab old John's hand and I said, no, he's a friend and he's not Japanese, but you wouldn't hurt a friend of mine, would you? No, you brought me to Jesus, you know, and it was amazing. And he went off in about 20 minutes, no, less than that, 10 minutes perhaps, he came back and saw my friend again, Japanese, and again he was going to hit him. But John would listen to me. But this year, there it was lovely when John came up to talk. He said, I want to thank you for what you've done in my life. He said, I realized I was going to follow my dad. And he said, so I prayed at home. My wife was gone shopping. And I prayed, oh God, save me from this drink. Help me, Jesus, please. And his wife came back from shopping. She was nervous because he could be violent, as you know, I told you. And she stood at a distance. And she said, John, it can't carry on. Your drinking's going to kill you. I've been to the doctor, and the doctor has agreed to see you to help you. And he said, my dear, I've just prayed to Jesus that he'll help me. I'm going to go to the doctor. And that was late 1990s. And John said, since 2000, I haven't touched a bit of drink. He said, Jesus is helping me. And now John is witnessing and telling others about the Lord Jesus. And I really do believe he became a Christian there, down in Barnstable in 1974. But yeah, Christians can fall, but Jesus can help them, can't he? And sometimes we go and visit the gypsy caravans there on the fair. And we get nearer, we get a bit nervous because you can get some funny responses from some of them. They don't like the gospel. This is humorous. Story to finish with, actually. And I went into some of the caravans. There were a little group of them. There's a different year. There was a group all in a circle, you know, and I went into the middle of the circle. I had Derek with me, and suddenly, as we got into the circle, there was this man dancing around. Come on, come on, a boxer wanting to fight us. I said, no man, I'm not going to take you on. I said, peace man, no. And anyhow, as I carried on through the little group of men, go on, I want to fight you. And I heard Derek behind me, who was following me, say, I don't mind if I do. I couldn't believe it, you know. And I looked around, suddenly there was blokes jumping out of a caravan, offering 20 quid notes and piles of notes to people, so much on him, so much on him. Nobody was putting any money on my mate Derek. And soon I realised we were both in a ring that had been formed by these gypsy men. And it was the man in the ring jumping up and down like this, getting ready, and Derek and me. And I thought, I can't get out of the ring now. So all I had on my satchel was with some Gospels of John. I said, no, I'm a preacher, man. I'm here for peace. Don't want to fight you. You know, can I give you one of the Gospel of John? So we went around the circle and I found a little group. I said, my mate's a bit silly, you know, come on. And we got out of the circle of men and we got back. And I was so thankful. And boy, did I tell Derek off. I said, what did you say a stupid thing like that for? Don't know. And anyhow, we had a good telling off because I nearly got hurt. So there we are. The races. We read there in that little verse, didn't we? The love of Christ compels us. We get asked sometimes to witness in places where we would not choose to go. I don't like race courses. Horrible, noisy places. But sometimes I feel I've got to go, or town centre, or wherever, because Jesus died for them, and I must go and tell men, women, about the Lord Jesus, for the love of Christ compels us. Amen. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Our Lord, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for what you have done in our hearts. You have made us new creations. Bless us. Help us to be a witness for you, we pray. And may we become more like Jesus, we pray. And longing the more to be in his presence. Thank you for our time together. Bless each one of us now. We give our thanks in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.